Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me here today for Train Your Brain and Up Your Game with Coach Mandy. Today, we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. It's going to be about vulnerability and authenticity, two things that I'm sure not everybody is always diving into and looking at, but I'm very excited to be talking about that today. I am Mandy Rosniak. I'm the owner of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm coming to you today from Marlborough, Connecticut. I want to let our listeners know before we get started, if they'd like to call in to ask a question or make a comment, the number is 646-716-9397. I do look forward to anyone calling in and participating, asking a question, giving us your input or comments, because I do love that back and forth interaction. I will be here on Life Coach Radio Network the first and third Friday of each month at 1 p.m., and I'll be talking about everything beyond the skills and drills of sports. We'll look at topics and issues that make up the person and not the player. I will have information and content that anyone can learn from, so please let your friends and family know there's a new game in town and there's something that, for everyone. I am a life coach who specializes in peak performance, leadership, and transitional coaching. So my primary focus is working with athletes and sports coaches because I want to help them maximize that peak potential by quieting all those negative self-talk, all those fears and doubts that hold them back from being their best. We train your brain so you can up your game. And the best part is so you can live and play fearless, focused, and free. Because who doesn't want that, right? So the work I do helps my clients have more confidence, focus, and productivity. We work on creating less stress and how to handle that, improving personal relationships. But the bottom line, you're going to have a better relationship with yourself, because you're going to let your best self out and you're going to try to quiet down all those things that hold you back. I am a former Division I head softball coach and collegiate player, and I've been now doing the life coaching the past 3 years, and I'm just loving every minute of it because I get to work with athletes and help them maximize their full potential in such a very unique format. So today we're going to be talking about vulnerability and authenticity, and why I believe it's important to an athlete having success. And just also to let you know, in a little bit, I'm going to be being joined by a fellow coach, Cliff Coffin, and he's a coach out in Arizona who also does work with athletes. And I'll be bringing Cliff on in a little bit, so he'll be joining in with me on doing the talking today about the vulnerability and authenticity. But the reason why I wanted to do this today is because most people equate sports with skills and drills. Wins and losses, you're either good or bad. And yes, you absolutely have to have physical talent. But to me, sports is all about emotion. If you think about it, let's look at what kind of emotions are out there. You've got joy, excitement, there's happiness, there's jubilation, you're satisfied. You get inspired, you feel determined, you're enthusiastic, you're daring, and you have confidence. But then there's the upset side. There's disappointment, frustration, sadness. A lot of people know about heartbreak. I'm a Patriots fan. I haven't been able to pull those Super Bowls out recently, so I understand heartbreak. There's nervousness. There's being timid. There's doubt and fear. Many of us can remember the words of Jim McKay. If you remember at the start of the ABC's Wide World of Sports, it used to go like this. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat, the human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports. Now, that's all about grabbing your attention. It's all about the emotion of what you're about to watch. So I wanted to take a look at vulnerability and authenticity, because in order for an athlete, or anyone for that matter, to really be able to get the most out of themselves, tap into that full physical capability, they have to be willing and able to be vulnerable and know themselves well enough to let their true value and let their true selves out. So the question becomes, is it more important to be vulnerable in order to be authentic, or do you have to be authentic in order to be vulnerable? Which to me is like asking the question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Or do you put the cart before the horse? And for those of you who know me, you'll be proud that I got those cliches correct. Vulnerability and authenticity, they aren't separate. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. As I talk about this more today, and when I get Cliff on, and when we're talking more about this, the vulnerability and authenticity, and we get more into them. Think about your life and look at the next week and look at how you can live without one or the other. Look at how they both show up and they go hand in hand. And you'll see that you literally can't have one without the other. The reason why I wanted to get into this topic, because it's been a personal interest for me for the past 7 months, seemed like every time I turned around, vulnerability and authenticity, because they just seemed to be going hand in hand, kept showing up. So I started to ask myself why, and I started to pay attention to the signs and how I was living my life and realized I still was living too much behind my own mask and hiding behind my own armor. I would have told you I was being authentic, but clearly it was not, or else it wouldn't have kept showing up. So one of the great things about life is the lessons we need to learn will keep showing up until we work through them or face them, and then we can move on. So let's talk about vulnerability and authenticity. My new favorite author, speaker, and expert on vulnerability is Brené Brown. She is a shame and vulnerability researcher from the University of Houston. And if anybody out there is familiar with her, she's written a popular book called Daring Greatly, also The Gifts of Imperfection, and she does the very popular TED Talks, which if you haven't seen, I encourage you to please go watch them after the show. You can Google Brené Brown, and that's B-R-E-N-E, Brené Brown TED Talks, and they're fabulous to watch. And for me, they were my spiritual awakening. And when you watch that, watch her TED Talks, you'll understand by spiritual awakening. They're very, very funny and thought-provoking videos to watch. So, again, I do encourage you to get out there and watch those. But she starts off in her book. She has this great quote from Theodore Roosevelt that talks about getting in the arena and daring greatly. And she talks about the people who stand on the sidelines. And, you know, they're the ones who are trying to be all the critics and everything. But it's about getting in the arena, putting it out there, and putting yourself on the line. Vulnerability is an emotional risk. It's exposure. It's uncertainty. To be vulnerable is to be seen. And that's a quote that comes from her book, Daring Greatly. Adaptability to change and fearing and facing our fear is what vulnerability is all about. So it's about facing the fear. It's thinking if we don't let ourselves feel or expose ourselves to risk, we'll protect ourselves from anything bad happening. When you think about an athlete, it's all about vulnerability. How many of us stand in front of a crowd of others to perform a task while being judged as to whether you're good or not based on the next thing you do? Think about what you're doing right now, and you had a crowd of people standing around watching you. And whatever it is you're about to do, they're going to assess whether or not you're good or not based on the action you're about to take. If that's not vulnerability, I don't know what is. So if you have an athlete that's standing at the foul line with 2 seconds on the clock, down by one, that's about as exposed as it gets. Or the batter at the plate with the tying run at third and there's 2 outs, at that moment, fear or doubt can be at the forefront. There's a lot of uncertainty. There can be a lot of emotional risk because you either make the shot, you get the hit, you're the hero. You miss the shot or you ground out and you're the bum. All of a sudden, here you are standing on the line, standing at the plate. You get it done, you're okay. You don't get it done, you're no good. So from an athlete's standpoint, their athlete was never any less. They didn't want to fail. They didn't want to not get the job done. But, of course, an athlete has to recognize that in this moment they're being vulnerable. And it's now about understanding and learning to work through that. It's about understanding and through practice, putting yourself in scenarios that you practice that through mental training. It's not going to change the situation, but you can develop skills towards handling these moments. You can become open to facing the fact that they exist. You're going to be in that pressure situation. Those fears and doubts are going to come up. What are you going to do about it? You are vulnerable in those moments, and where do you go from there? And like I said, they'll still be there, but if you know they're there, you work with it, you don't allow them to overtake you, you don't suppress them, it's going to be less that they're going to be likely to block you. They're not going to get stuck inside you. Yet an athlete who never faces their vulnerabilities is never going to face that fear that bounces around inside of them and they want to stuff it away and act as if the emotion and facing these fears and doubts aren't there. But they're going to find in these pressure situations, they actually show up in a greater presence. They won't know how to play through them. Vulnerability has often been linked to weakness. And yet, again, as Brené Brown quotes, vulnerability is actually the birthplace of innovation, creating, and change. It's only by recognizing vulnerability that we can really begin to know our strength. Fear will always be there, but when you can recognize the fear, when you're aware of its presence, then you can face your circumstances from a place of empowerment and from a place of choice. It doesn't mean the shot's always going to go in, because much of that is also skill. But if the mind isn't playing ping pong inside your head, you'll have a much better chance of executing that task. Being vulnerable and open to its strength, it can actually give you a real form of courage. It may feel easier to stay hidden, to hide the feelings, yet athletes are in the center of it all the time. The sheer aspect of what you're doing is being watched. Yet, are you really visible? That's the question. Someone's watching you, but are you really visible? We actually denounce the athlete that shows emotion because it's seen as a weakness by too many. It takes courage to let out that raw emotion. It takes courage to stand in front of others and perform a task. It takes courage to give it your all. And if that's being vulnerable, then what else is there? I would say there's really no other way that we should live. Our willingness, this is another quote from Brené Brown, our willingness to our own and engage with our vulnerability determines the depth of our courage and the clarity of our purpose. The level to which we protect ourselves from being vulnerable is a measure of our fear and disconnection. An athlete has a choice to face their fears, face those doubts of, am I good enough? They can hide those feelings of disappointment when they don't get it done. Because if they don't ultimately face these vulnerabilities, it's going to just continue to hurt performance and make the next time that much harder. Own it. Face it. Face what's really there. Acknowledge that you have doubts and fears. Allow yourself to be seen. Be clear on what your values are, because that's going to help you develop that stronger sense of self. It's going to help you know your value and not be so attached whether you make the shot or not. Be vulnerable. Be exposed. Let yourself out. Let down that armor, because the wins and losses are going to happen. They're going to come and go. Failure and success are going to happen. Feel both. Feel the disappointment. Allow yourself to feel that joy. But know that no matter what, you have the courage to feel and you have the courage to make it happen, because that's what vulnerability is all about. And so now, as I've gone on for a little bit longer than I had intended, but I get really, really excited and passionate about all this stuff, I'd like to bring Cliff on and introduce him and have him tell you a little bit about yourself. And hopefully he's taken some of what I've had, and we're going to, you know, talk about some of these things. Cliff, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'd like to
interesting topic.
I think it's one of those that, you know, not, you know, everybody always talks about the skills and drills, but it's you know, opens up to a lot. So I'd like to just, Cliff, if you'd like to just take a moment and in a moment here, introduce yourself. I've gotten to know Cliff a little bit through. We're doing a class together. We're both IPEC trained coaches, and we're doing a class together. And through that, we discovered that we're both working with athletes. I'm here in the East Coast in Connecticut, and he's out there in the West Coast out in Arizona. So, again, I want to thank him for joining us. And, Cliff, if you'd like to just tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you're doing.
Well, thanks a lot for the invitation, Mandy. It's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate the opportunity to participate. I have formed a company, Elite Proactive Coaching, when we specialize in working with coaching staffs, student athletes, in families, in mastering the power of energy. Numerous life responsibilities can produce stress, resulting in suboptimal performance in the classroom and on the playing surface and in life in general. And as such, we've developed a program that can assist the individuals as they uncover the challenges that produce stressful situations. And when the challenges are identified, then the student athlete or the coaches or the parents can engage strategic planning and goal setting processes that ultimately culminate in the reduction of stress and the enhancement of life satisfaction and ideal for the student athlete, optimal performance on the field. So saying that, this is a awesome subject matter, vulnerability and authenticity. Mandy, it's, you've done a very good job of presenting it for the audience and opening up a thought process that is much needed in this arena. So what can I help you out with here? What would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, in regards to, you know, the work you've done, you know, again, as I was saying, you know, athletes every moment are putting themselves on the line. You know, they're putting themselves out there.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know of a sport, and maybe there's one out there that somebody can think of, but I don't know of a sport that when you're doing it, you're doing it in a solo place where there's absolutely not a soul around watching what it is you're doing. And actually, as I start to say that, I think to myself, well, maybe you've got somebody who's a rock climber, and they're out on the side of a rock face, and they're hanging on for dear life while they climb up a mountain. So maybe nobody is really watching them at that point. But talk about being vulnerable. I mean, you know, when you're hanging on to the side of a cliff,
they're totally exposed.
Exactly. And the reason why, like I said, I got interested in wanting to talk about this is because athletes. Really, if you think about it, coming through the ranks, you know, there's the old expression, you know, the great line from A League of Their Own, like, there's no crying in baseball, you know, when Tom Hanks says that piece, you know, and athletes actually throughout the years, you know, starting from that young age, it's as if they're taught to play and be without emotion, to play and go
right.
with, you have to be stoic. And yet, As I was reading, you know, reading those lists of emotion words and things, sports are all about emotion. You know, so let me know, you know, give me some of your thoughts on that as well.
You know, it's that's an interesting process that you are presenting, because an athlete is probably one of the most emotional individuals that you're going to come into play with, but he or she has to keep those emotions in check, or else they won't be able to perform optimally. It's an interesting process, because I come from the thought that we all are full of choices, and those choices that we make on a daily basis influence how we control our emotions. You can come from the arena that it doesn't really matter, but one of the most powerful mindsets that an athlete and an individual can take in life is that of responsibility. Because it asserts that you are responsible for your life and everything in it. And it is a direct result of your action or inaction. So when you have those feelings, those emotions, if you can keep them in check long enough to perform your responsibility at that point in time, then, you know, you're the second baseman that's in charge of the double play when the shortstop gets the ball hit to him. You know, that's a powerful position, because if you don't execute that transfer of the ball from the mitt to the hand and throw it to the first baseman in a precise movement, then the double play doesn't exist. But once you do, the exhilaration that goes through your body is like, wow, I was absolutely on target. It was a great throw, great catch, and a great delivery to the first baseman. But let's say he bobbles the ball. There's emotions there that he still has to keep in check, because the game doesn't end. Life doesn't stop when we make a mistake. It keeps going on. So it's what we learn from those errors or those mistakes that make us what we become. And when you accept the vulnerability as a progress step in life, and you move forward into the authenticity and the awareness of when you are successful, you know what, I really did achieve that. It was a team effort, but we were able to achieve the goal. Whatever the goal may be in life, it still takes choices. And when you choose to be vulnerable, you're allowing yourself to have a growing moment. But you need to learn from those growing moments so that you can become and you can excel in those and become that elite player.
That was fantastic. And you bring up such great points because, you know, again, it's about, I think one of the things you said that really hit on is when you're in that moment, you're making that play, you're going to either feel the elation or you're going to feel sort of the disappointment. And, you know, it's not about, and when we're talking about the vulnerability, it's not about saying that you then break down right there on the field or, you know, you jump for joy because, you know, there's the old expression about, like, you know, when you win, sometimes act like you've been there before. You know, you don't want to get too high and you don't ever want to get too low. But when an athlete is too stoic and is too unable to connect to those emotions, then it is going to affect them as they continue down the line, and it is going to affect them as they get, you know, off the field and outside of there, because they're not going to be able to know what to do with those feelings, what to do with those moments. And I think that's when they're not feeling those emotions that are happening and they don't allow them to release, then that's where I think when you then get into certain situations, then the pressure continues to build because you're not going to be able to, you know, you're not going to know what to do with those moments when it builds up inside of you because, you know, again, as we were saying, you know, athletes are taught not to show emotion. And yet.
Exactly.
When, you know, and you know what it is I'm thinking is the same is where you see emotion a lot and it seems to be accepted more than in any other arena is in the Olympics. You ever notice that? In the Olympics, athletes either really, really show that raw excitement, that raw positive emotion, you know, or that raw disappointment. You know, when they maybe have reached a goal that they've worked on, you know, they let it all out, or maybe if they didn't quite reach the goal that they had set for themselves, they let it all out. And yet there seems to be something about that's accepted. That's okay to show it and be vulnerable in those arenas, and people connect to that. And yet,
right. When
you have the baseball player, you know, the pro baseball player who, you know, gets upset after, you know, after making a play or something, well, that's also then seen as a sign of weakness. And I think, unfortunately, you know, that's where I think athletes through time, they learn that showing emotion and being vulnerable is a form of weakness. And one of the last things you can be as an athlete is, quote, unquote, weak. You know, and again, and I think it goes back to showing emotion. I'll speak personally here. I was an athlete, and I don't even know where I picked it up, but I was one of these athletes that if I made a great play, I would fight the smile. I would fight the fact that, like, that I felt good about what I just did. And I'll be honest with you, I think over the years that actually ultimately held me back. It ultimately held me back from probably reaching maybe more out of myself because, as we know in doing this work we do in looking at how our energy affects us and looking at how, you know, how the inside affects the outside, my body didn't know what to do with the joy, so it also then didn't know what to do with the sadness or the disappointment. So it couldn't rise to another level to take me to another level because I never let it feel it. I never let myself be exposed to it. It was probably very easy to stay where I was because my body knew that. My body knew that this was where our comfort level was. This was where we knew what to and how to process. So, you know, I think that's where also, again, personally, I think this, you know, I can relate to this, and I think it's of an interest because, you know, you do see this so much in these athletes. In dealing with some of the athletes that you've worked with or even maybe the parents or things like that, what are some of, maybe if you can think of any off the top of your head, what are some of the things you've seen that make you cringe or the types of things that you see a coach do or a parent say or an athlete do? Because, you know, we're not trying to put it on any one person because we all are a part of the process. But that you just maybe cringed and thought to yourself, wow, that's, you know, that's just going to probably hold that athlete back or, you know, anything like that? Is there anything you can think of off the top of your head that you've seen that sort of holds an athlete back based on what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly. You know, I'm big on youth. My thought process is that the youth of this world are the future. The youth of this nation are the future of the world. And if we don't take care of our youth and we don't teach them some more of the things that they need to do as they grow up and become an adult and become leaders in the community, and hopefully leaders are going to have a presence that's a positive presence on everything. It's frustrating to me to watch fans and parents that degrade the performance of a young athlete. I don't care what they did. I don't care how they performed. They gave it their all because that's all they knew how to do. If they make an error, it's not because they planned on making the error. But sometimes fans can be the most rude individuals in the world when they don't realize that as a young athlete, that young athlete's heart is on the field. It doesn't matter if it's tennis court, the basketball court, the baseball diamond, the softball diamond, or a soccer field, or up there performing solo on the stage for a choir or whatever. Their heart and soul is in there because that's what they want to be. They want to be that best athlete. And we sometimes forget that. Sometimes as parents, sometimes coaches, they, in the heat of the moment, they'll berate the player. It's frustrating to me to watch that because I like youth athletic events because it's the purest form of athletics that you can possibly get. I don't know how many of you had a chance to watch the young women's softball, Little League softball championship last night. I just happened to be flipping through ESPN and it was on. And lo and behold, it was Arizona against, I think it was Virginia. And it was, wow, Virginia was undefeated and Arizona had already had a loss. And it was the emotions that were exhibited during that game were what sports is all about. We shouldn't be holding back our children, or we shouldn't be ridiculing an athlete because they mess up. And they need to know after the game that they did a great job. You can go to college football games or college events, and you can see an athlete, when they have a slip and they don't perform to their optimal, they're hard enough on themselves. You can see it in the way they walk away from the play. When they go back into the next time that they're out on their specialty, whether it's I'm in the field playing outfield or I'm at bat, you can see it. If somebody doesn't pick them up and say, hey, you know what, don't worry about it, we all make mistakes. If somebody isn't there to help them, they get down on themselves. And that's what life has been. But that doesn't mean life has to continue that way. We as individuals have a choice, and we can make it a choice to be there to pick up that vulnerable athlete or that vulnerable student, because the student is the athlete. If the student, whether he is a student at home or she's a student in school, there's a correlation between students and athletes. And we're all learning. It doesn't mean that when I use the term student, it doesn't mean they have to be enrolled in a school of choice. They can be a student at work and they're playing league softball, or they're playing golf league on the weekends with a group, and it's a group of work buddies. It's still, we're all students. And as we go through life, we have a tendency to be negative. We've got to quit that. We've got to figure out how to refocus our energies to where we're building each other up, because there's too much of it going on. And vulnerability is that weak point in yours and my makeup when we do make that mistake, because we're not perfect. And it's, you said it earlier when you said how can one live without the other? You can't be authentic if you're not vulnerable. And you're not vulnerable if you don't experience authenticity, because one goes together, one and another. I mean, it's a unique process, but it's something that I know that you've experienced it going through this training. I know that I've had my eyes open to it a lot more, because I was one of those athletes that I gave it 100% all the time. Sometimes I felt like I gave it 125, 150%. And when I messed up, I was the hardest one on me. And I didn't learn to let it go. It didn't matter if my teammates would pat me on the back. I missed the tackle and the guy scored a touchdown. It's like, what? That was my play to make, and I messed it up, and now we're down. But you still have to pick yourself back up, no matter where you are in life. When you have that vulnerable experience, how you pick yourself back up helps build your authenticity with other people, because they see you fail and they see you recover, and you are an authentic person no matter what. Each one of us is unique, and so the mistakes that we make in life, other people learn from them as well. And that's why I've really have enjoyed your lead in and your discussion on vulnerability today. It's a subject matter that needs to be brought up more.
Well, I thank you for that, and just shared some great stuff, and tapping onto something you brought up. There's actually two points, or several points, but there's two in particular that when you're talking again and bringing up the authenticity and vulnerability that do go hand in hand, because being authentic is about being seen. It's about letting your true self out, and you can't let yourself be seen unless you're being vulnerable. We may think we're being seen, but again, it's about, are you really peeling back the layers? Because, authenticity is about letting that true self out. It's about the integrity we have, living consciously, accepting yourself and taking responsibility. And you've talked about the taking responsibility, about being hardest on yourself, and athletes that are hardest on themselves when something happens. And when you're doing all of that, you're being vulnerable. You can't really go through the day or the week and not have one, and not have them linked together. You can absolutely live an inauthentic life. You can absolutely live a life of not being vulnerable. And if you're not being vulnerable, then I guarantee you, you're not being authentic. You're not allowing your true self, your true who, out, because they just go in tandem. They have to. It's like the yin and the yang. They have to be there to work with each other. If you're being authentic, you absolutely are letting those vulnerabilities out on the line, and vice versa. But something else you said that I was glad you sort of brought this up, because it's probably even another great topic for another day, but it's about with kids and youth sports. And I think we have to, again, sort of start paying attention, because I think we're doing a disservice to our youth in regards to the pressures we're putting on them. And someone might say, if they're only catching part of this today, that, because this next thing I want to talk about is, kids now, what's happening is there is so much pressure on them. There's a lot more pressure on them at an earlier age for specialization, and there's the chasing the elusive scholarship. Like as I said, that's a totally topic for another day. That when they do make a mistake or something does happen, it's the immediate look into the stands. It's the immediate look to the sideline to find out what's the approval going to be, what's going to be the look on the face. And you see a lot more kids breaking down on the field now in ways that would almost be considered overreactions. And this is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Someone might say, well, aren't you contradicting yourself in this statement? And what I'm getting to about this is these kids, when they're showing this emotion, they're showing this breaking down, that, yes, they're being vulnerable, but the reason and the place, and that's the bigger thing, of where it's coming from, it's coming more from a place of fear and disappointment, of that they have now just let their parents down. They have now let the coach down, because there's being so much put on these kids' shoulders of it's only about success, and success meaning winning, and success meaning scoring, and success meaning, leading the team in statistics, that if they don't do it perfectly, then they are a failure. And kids right now are really learning, it's learning that it's only black and white. There is no room for gray. Effort is not enough. Effort has got to be there, but effort is no longer considered enough, because if they absolutely give it their best, what's it always been about? Leave it on the field. you know, win or lose, it doesn't matter as long as you've left everything you have on the field. Can you look yourself in the mirror and say, I literally gave it everything I had today? And I've always told every athlete I've ever worked with, if you can look in the mirror and say yes, then the score doesn't matter. Because then that goes back into the whole, you've got to know what your definition of success is. And if you define success, and if this is your definition, that's fine for you. But if you are defining success literally on wins and losses, you're going to probably have more disappointment in your life than you are the feeling of happiness or of succeeding. Because as we know in baseball, if you fail 7 times out of 10, you're a Hall of Fame hitter. You're only going to succeed 3 times. You're going to actually have a failure 7 times, but you still could be in the Hall of Fame as long as you're not taking PEDs, and that's a whole other story. But we are putting so much pressure on our kids today to do it absolutely right, and that the only, you know, mistakes are not allowed, that's where I think we're doing this great disservice. And again, you want kids to show and feel and express emotion, but you want it to be from the appropriate place and for the appropriate reason. If, you know, you bring up Little League, you've got the Little League World Series going on right now, and if, you know, it's the end of the season and you've left it all on the line and you've just lost a game, oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with shedding some tears, because that's a natural reaction. But if you're the shortstop and you've just now thrown a ball away and somebody scores, the overreaction at that moment right there is I'm really concerned about that child at that point, or the high school. I've seen it in a high school student, and now you're starting to see it fall over into college, that their ability to I don't want to say handle, that's not really the right word I'm looking for, but their ability to handle their emotions, which, yes, we're saying here today we want you to let out, but it's having it to the place where then it's not so where you're at extreme highs and extreme lows. It's about learning that middle ground, you know, and things like that. So I was really glad you brought that point up. And I don't know if there's anything more you want to share on that or thoughts you have.
No, I think this is a good discussion. But I think that coming back to your vulnerability and the authenticity, it's a key element of life that we need to recognize more completely due to the impact it has on other people, not just on us. When we allow that vulnerability to come out, we're also allowing ourselves to grow. Because when we keep it in, you mentioned how you were so hard on yourself in your youth, because you wouldn't let those expressions out, you kept it in, and you felt like you were shortchanged, or you felt like maybe you didn't excel as much as you could have excelled. Those were natural responses when you and I were kids, because that's what we were taught, and that's still somewhat to what kids are being taught today, is you can't let your emotions out. But what we're also doing at the same time is we're saying there's only one thing that's important, and that's the win. And it's not the only thing that's important. Our characters are being developed as we grow through life, and the character that we're developing as an athlete is a super important piece of the world we live in today, because they're leaders. Whether their team is a undefeated team or a winless team, those individuals are on the football field or the softball field or on the swim and dive team. Those individuals are leaders because they made the effort. They were recognized by the college that they're representing, or they were recognized by the coach that chose them to be on the team at the high school level to be the participant. They are a leader in that, and sometimes we lose focus on everything in life and focus only on the win. And when you were talking about the things that we can learn from not only winning but from losing, it's so important, because the vulnerability is there, and if we can learn to recognize it and we can learn to deal with it, then we've achieved a huge success. And I can't thank you enough, because what you've done today is you've provided at least a outlet for people to listen to, and hopefully some people will come up with some things that they can take away from our discussion and apply them to their lives, because that's the key here. Is you and your goal and my goal is to help other people become what they want to become by providing them with the assistance that we can provide them. If they pick it up from this radio show, then you have done an awesome job today. And if they don't, you've still done an awesome job. And that's what's important that we're missing here is, regardless of whether we see something significant out of it today, tomorrow we may be talking about it around the water cooler and say, hey, I listened to this on the radio show. What do you guys think? And, oh, wow, that was an awesome thought. I never even thought of that. Or, you know what, I may not say it to you, but that's how I've been treating my daughter, and I need to change. I need to be propping her up. You are going to have an impact with what happened today, and it's going to be a positive impact. And I thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Well, I thank you for that as well. And you know, it's interesting because you're sharing that, you know, very, very kind words, and I, like I said, I appreciate that. And what's really great about this, and again, this is where this stuff I think is so great, I could feel those moments of like, wow, you know, being vulnerable in this moment to accept those, you know, the kind things you've said, because I do appreciate that. You know, from the place of so much of what we're trying to do here is, like you said, is about helping people, you know, look inside themselves and you know, just maybe take a look at what they're doing, and if it's not about judging, it's about just maybe it's a way of looking at something just a little bit differently and a little bit way of reconnecting with ourselves or maybe how we're doing something or showing up. So again, I thank you for that. And something you mentioned, you know, and what I love about this stuff too is, you know, we've probably tapped into three or four things that could already, you know, we can already do a whole nother show on. And yet I don't think you use the word, but in some ways it's about, you know, that perfectionism. Perfectionism is this like self-destructive thing that we do to ourselves, because if I look perfect and I do everything perfect, then I can avoid, like, you know, the painful feelings, and I can avoid, again, being seen. I can, you know, and yet perfectionism is all about, you know, actually sort of hiding behind, you know, because we just don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be looked upon as if we're not good enough. And I think a lot of that's what this all comes down to. It's about looking within ourselves and accepting that what we're doing and how we're doing it is our best effort. And if it's not our best effort, then we get to go out there and try it again. And because I think that's that's a really important piece, is not get stuck on. And that's the thing I was talking about earlier about, you know, the athlete that allows it, faces the fact that they have these fears and doubts when they step up to the line, or they're at the plate, or in the classroom, or the former athlete who's now you know, in their work life, and they're playing in a company golf tournament, you know, and they're standing at the tee and their boss is standing behind them. You don't think how they drive that ball off the tee is going to matter? Of course it's going to matter, but it's the attachment they put to it and things like that. But, you know, we're in vulnerable moments all the time throughout the day. And when we allow that vulnerability to come through, that allows the authenticity to come through. That's where and how we connect to people. But I think it's also where we connect to ourselves. You know, and that's where and how you're going to get, I think, more from yourself, and you're going to be able to give more to other people, because I think ultimately that's, a lot of people, that's what they want. They just want to, you know, we all want to be liked, we all want to be loved, we all want to be accepted, yet we think if we hide behind our masks and we hide behind, you know, the armor, as I mentioned earlier, that's, you know, Brene Brown talks a lot about hiding behind our armor. We think we're not going to get hurt, we're not going to feel disappointment, we're not going to feel shame or all these other things that are going to happen to us. But yet it doesn't protect us from that. All it does is it actually keeps us, I think, more disconnected. And again, going back into the athlete piece, you know, the athlete's putting themselves out there just all the time. And if they can let that vulnerability come through and allow their true self to come out, I think they're going to get more from their performances, which is going to carry on throughout the other parts of their lives, because it's not going to be rattling around inside. It's going to be coming out, and it's going to be, it's going to be putting not only their physical selves on the line, but everything else that goes with it. And, ultimately, I think they're just going to maximize all of themselves.
Those are awesome points, because the way that we maximize ourselves is sometimes we allow it to be dependent on other people, but we need to recognize it is dependent on what we experience and what we choose to let out and how we choose to be authentic with other people. If you put on a false front, then you're not allowing yourself to be vulnerable. If you walk into to practice and pretend that everything is going well in life, then that's how you deal with the issues of life. But when we choose to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, and it is a choice, we don't have to allow the pat on the back to impact us. We don't have to allow that mistake to make an improvement on how we perform the next time. But when we maximize our performance, when we truly want to be that better person, then we really are open ourselves up to vulnerability. Because when you think about it, you have to be like a sponge. To become the maximum that you can be, yes, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn from those mistakes, but you're also going to be patted on the back and said, hey, that job well done. Or when the coach comes up to you and says, hey, if you hold your bat this way and you change your stance like this, think about what you might be able to do. You're allowing him to interject into you a change of mindset that can ultimately maximize what you have in performance. And that is your goal in life, is to become the best that you can be. And this process that Mandy has brought into the thought process today, the process of being vulnerable, the process of being authentic, it isn't an overnight thing. It takes time and effort to allow those things to interact with you. It takes time and effort for you to be that authentic person that you can be. But the end result can be so astronomically powerful if we just allow it to happen, because you yourself become that shoulders back, head up, walking strong person instead of that one that's sulking in the corner or around the group because I messed up today. I really don't want to hear about it, so I'm going to go around over here because that's all I do is mess up. No, that's not all you do is mess up. That's a choice. We need to reach out to those individuals and help them understand you are not a mess up. You are a progress in work, and we're proud to have you a part of us, because that individual could be the next governor of your state, or it could be your next class president, or it could become your best friend, but you never know until you open up and let them in. Maximize the potential that you have to become the best you can. Awesome thought process. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for that. And one of the last things I just want to say on something you mentioned is just that the other thing, too, when we do let that out and we let the vulnerability come out, it builds us from within. And when you build from within and you have that foundation, that's the place where it all starts from. That's the place that when you then do look to the sidelines and you maybe don't get the look or the approval that maybe you're looking from, you can stand on your own two feet. You can stand in your own space. And because it all starts, we know all the time, we talk about you have to start from within. And I think when you allow the vulnerability to be exposed and allow yourself to be authentic, you build a stronger core. And in athletics, we know it's all about the core. It's all about core strength. And here it's about core strength, not just physically, but also internally and emotionally, that being vulnerable, being authentic allows you to build that core strength so that you can then grow and take it then to another level and take it to another level and all those kinds of things, because you're never allowing the disappointment or anything like that to, you know, to own you. You own yourself and you own your efforts, and that's really what it's all about. And so, again, Cliff, I really want to thank you for joining me today. It was great conversation, and I would love to have you on again, because, like I said, we've probably brought up 3 or 4 other topics we could definitely get into, and with the work you do in youth sports, it would absolutely, you know, some of the things to talk about and just in general. So, again, I want to thank you for that. And if you'd like to just remind the audience one more time, you know, just let them know your company again, and if there's a way they could contact you, that would be great.
Well, thank you, Mandy. Once again, the name of my company is Elite Proactive Coaching, and the website's eliteproactivecoaching.com. That's the easiest way to look me up. There's a couple of reach outs there for us to make contact. The honor is mine to be on this show, because Mandy and I've met. We've been able to experience some of the things of life in different concepts from different sides of the nation. It would be a pleasure to be on your call later on another day to be able to express some of these same thoughts, because the joy that you have in doing what you do comes out clearly. So thank you for the opportunity, and I hope that I contributed. So have a great weekend, everybody, and good luck, and thanks again, Mandy.
Yes, and Cliff, you absolutely contributed. It was great. It was great talking with you. And again, I thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to the moments down the road. Yes, and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'd like to end this little conversation on vulnerability and authenticity with the passage I mentioned it a little bit earlier with. In the book Daring Greatly that Brené Brown talks about. It's actually from Theodore Roosevelt's speech called Citizenship in a Republic. And it's also known sometimes as the man in the arena. And I think this really sort of sums up a lot of what we were talking about today. And here it is. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or when the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who faces marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who knows at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. And I think that quote, without a doubt, sums it up today in regards to everything we've been talking about. And so I do want to thank everyone for listening. I do have a few housekeeping things I have to do, but like I said, I do want to thank Cliff for joining me today, and I want to thank everyone for listening. This will be recorded, so if there's anything you'd like to take from it, it'll be recorded so you can listen to it again. And, you know, again, I thank you, and I urge everyone to go out there and just take a look at what you're doing. You don't have to, you know, run out in the streets and all of a sudden start screaming, I'm going to be vulnerable and authentic. Just pay attention to your language. Just pay attention to how you're talking to your kids. Watch a game on TV and try to notice the athletes that maybe you can see. You know, those are the ones that are being, you know, maybe more authentic and vulnerable. I mean, I know right now in sports there's the big conversation going on with Alex Rodriguez and the PEDs and sports performance drugs and all those kinds of things. You know, and again, it's not about judging. It's about looking at maybe what has gone on in certain people's lives that they've made these different decisions. So, you know, go out there, and I urge everyone to, you know, look at themselves, look at how vulnerable or authentic you're being, and just, you know, start with one little thing, and go do it for yourself. So, again, I want to thank everyone, but I do, like I said, I have a few housekeeping things here to do to let you know about some upcoming shows we have on our radio station here on the Life Coach Radio Network. we have coming up tomorrow, August 17th at 12 noon. It is going to be How to Use Metaphors for Power, Clarity, and Inspiration. And that's going to be with coaches Annette Johnson, Deb Dockman, and Carrie Spaulding. And that's tomorrow, August 17th at 12 o'clock. And then Sunday, August 18th at 9 p.m., we have Mark My Words with life and business coach Mark Shaw. And he's going to be discussing the art of confrontation with Tanya Ezekiel. She's a career coach. And they're going to be talking about confrontation and how powerful of a communication tool it is. And that's Sunday, August 18th at 9 p.m. And then on Monday, August 19th at 9 p.m., we have Frank Talk, The Language of Your Life. In this episode, they're going to be looking at how to use language to help create more happiness for ourselves. So that's going to be with David Frank Gomes, who is a co-active Life Compass coach. And then we also have our sister network, which is the International Life Coach Radio Network. And the shows coming up on there are the Zenberry Life with Holistic Health Coach Emma Galland. And that will be Sunday, August 17th at 1 p.m. And then there is Me Optimized with Style Coach Tiffany Dixon. And she will be on Monday, August 19th at 8 p.m. And then coming up on Tuesday, August 20th at 9 p.m., is going to be the debut show for DIY for Your Soul, Answering the Question, Who Am I? And that's going to be with Coach Tim Billiter, and he's going to be having our executive producer of the networks, Russ Terry, on, and they're going to be talking about Who Am I on Tuesday, August 20th at 9 p.m. And those last three shows are all on our sister network, the International Life Coach Radio Network. And I'm happy to announce that we are branching off into a third network starting this Sunday, August 18th at noon. It's going to be the debut of the third network, which is Life Coach Chat Network. So again, that's Life Coach Chat Network. And on Sunday, they're going to be starting off with Super Soul Sunday at noon. So please check that out as well. So I'm very happy to be a part of the Life Coach Radio Network and to have had the opportunity to be a part of this growing family. And Russ Terry has done a fantastic job of taking a vision he had in March, and here we are in August 16th, and he's already grown it into three networks, and that just goes to show when you follow your dreams and go after your goals, then anything is possible, and not allowing fear or anything to hold us back, and just to go for it. So I think that's a perfect example of taking an idea, having a vision, and just going for it. And so, again, I want to thank everyone for listening today. I want to thank Cliff for joining me and offering great conversation and input on this topic today of vulnerability and authenticity. I am Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and my website is www.coachmandy.com, and my email is mandy@coachmandy.com. And, again, I want to thank you for joining me today. You can also find me on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching, and also on Twitter at Life Coach Mandy. So those are all the different ways to reach me. We'll be back here again on Friday, September 6th at 1 p.m. And as the shows that will be coming up, I'm going to be having some guests coming up in the future. That's going to be leading to some more interesting conversation and lots of information sharing. So I look forward to being with you again on Friday, September 6th at 1 p.m. And again, thank you everyone for joining us today, and thank you, Cliff. And everyone, go out there and live a vulnerable and authentic kind of life, because we only have one, and there's only one way to go. So go for it, go live it, and be happy. All right, take care, everyone. Have a great weekend.